Hey, thank you for joining me. Happy Feast of the Presentation. Also, happy Feast of Candlemas. You know, and today's a day, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this yet, but there is this ancient tradition that the church has, centuries old, of distributing blessed candles on the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord on this day, where you get a candle from the celebration. Look, maybe you say, oh, I didn't know about it. If you have a relationship with a priest, or you can go to your parish, it'd be great to go ahead and ask the priest to bless your candles. And then use these blessed candles. Put them in a prominent place in your home. The purpose is to remind you that Christ is the light of the world, right? It's also, just in terms of spiritual warfare, I always want to be careful about saying this type of stuff, but the devil hates light. Right? It reminds him of Jesus. That's why he cowers in the darkness. Christ is the light of the world, right? So on this day, when you get these blessed candles by your priest, it'll take the candle that you have, and in that candle now becomes a sacramental, right? An extension, if you will, of the sacraments of the church and the channel of divine grace. They're different from the sacraments. You know, and I've talked about this many times. Sacramentals are very different from the sacrament from sacraments. But one of the blessings of these sacramentals, and you know, your rosary, your blessed water, blessed salt, blessed candles. One of the spiritual benefits is their ability to drive out the demonic. And I just want to share something with you. I was reading this a little bit earlier today, because I didn't get candles blessed today. And a friend of mine called me, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. Listen to this. This comes from the Roman ritual. Here's a prayer. It says, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, bless these candles at our lowly request. Endow them, Lord, by the power of the Holy Cross with a blessing on high. You who gave them to mankind in order to dispel darkness, let the blessings that they receive from the sign of the Holy Cross be effectual wherever they are lighted and placed, that the prince of darkness may depart in trembling from those places and flee in fear along with his legions. And never dare to disturb or molest those who serve you, the Almighty God who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Out of the Roman ritual, a little prayer, a little blessing, I guess, on the candles. Pretty powerful stuff, right? And on this, the Feast of the Presentation on Candlemas, think about making use of these gifts the church gives us, right? These great sacramentals. Candles have always been used in the church in both a symbolic and a sacramental way. I mean, from ancient times, the lighted candle has been a symbol of the light of Christ. It's expressed the Easter vigil, right? You know that. Jesus came into the world, to this dark world of sin and death, and he brought the light of God to us. I mean, there's so much there. But remember, these sacramentals, the candle itself does not drive demons out. It's Jesus who does that, the light of the world. So that's why demons despise all light. And that's why they hate sacramentals, anything that has an anointing or a blessing or the power of the church behind it. So I just think it's fitting that blessed candles have this effect. And if there's division in your home, there's anger, there's impurity, there's just division, there's addiction. Okay, use these sacramentals. Use your blessed water. Use your blessed salt. I use blessed water every day in my studio before this broadcast. I invoke the great Saint Michael. And then use these blessed candles. There's a lot more I can tell you about it, but let's pray. All right, I know you have needs. I know you have intentions. And it's such an honor. I mean, it's such a privilege just to be able to lead this prayer. I know how much God loves it. And I know how much he hears your prayers. I'm joined by my colleague today, Preston. Preston, great to have you back with me. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I look forward to praying with you today. I'd like to pray for my Uncle Dan. Sure. He's had a lot of serious medical situations happen recently, and open heart surgeries, and just that he'll recover well and still have a good life ahead of him.
All right, well, we'll lift him up for sure. We'll lift all these intentions and your beautiful family. Preston, I'm glad to be able to pray with you. A couple quick emails here, and of course, Maggie, a little bit later in the chaplet, will share some intentions that are on our Twitter account, at Drew Mariani Show. You can put them there as well. This person wrote to me from Mount Holly, New Jersey. I'll keep the name anonymous. A coworker has a police friend whose son was murdered a week ago in a robbery at a convenience store in Philadelphia. Can you pray for the repose of the soul of this person and for his family? They receive peace in this time. His name was Hiram Hill. He was only 23 years old. thank you for your prayers, and please pray for my coworker. Another person wrote, could you pray for Caesar, who got cement in his eye while working? He damaged his cornea, and we're praying for his conversion and his protection, and for the rest of my children. Thank you for your prayers. Oh, and for the conversion of all sinners. I love the way they end that. All right, let's pray for that, and we'll pray for all the intentions that you have in your heart. We begin as we do every day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today from San Diego, California. Betty is praying with us there. Hi, Betty. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling to ask for prayers for my best friend. I've been a caregiver for the person for the last number of years. She's end-stage kidney disease, brittle diabetes, lost much of the eyesight and mobility. And we're kind of at a crossroads now, I think she is, with either new treatment or new treatment options that might be available to her. But so I'm asking for a small cup or a large cup from the Lord, whatever he has in his will, and for all your listeners and for Drew, you as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate those prayers, Betty. I'll pray for you too, okay? And I'm going to lift up your best friend. She's lucky to have you. I ask for those who are having vision problems, those who've lost eyesight. This is a second intention regarding the eyes. I'm going to pray for a friend of mine whose son lost his vision, and I'm still praying for a miracle. I mean, it would be an absolute total miracle. He is completely blind. But I just pray, Lord, today for the restoration of sight. You know, for those who are having problems with their corneas, their retinas, their eyes in general, those suffering from macular degeneration, I just pray for the eye. And I pray for those who are spiritually blind, who have lost their way, who do not see you, who do not see truth, that their eyes and the scales that cover them will be open. I do pray for those with diabetes. I pray for all those right now who are most in need of your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
And hold them for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Andrew is praying in Nutley, New Jersey. Hi, Andrew. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. I'm calling to offer up prayers for our cantor, very loved and dedicated cantor, Fred Miner, who sings the 7:30 a.m. Mass on Sundays at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church in Nutley, currently suffering from COVID and in serious condition on a ventilator as we speak, and also offering up prayers for his son, Eric Miner, which happened to pass away just yesterday. So two things, if we could offer up prayers for that very tough time in our parish right now.
Wow, how sad. Andrew, thanks. Thanks for calling. And let's pray for you, for your personal needs. I know sometimes it's hard to get through on the chaplet, and be great to have everybody praying for your intentions. So I pray for all those who come. They intercede for others, all those who are deep in prayer for the needs of others as well. And I believe so completely in the anointing, the power of this particular hour, of this prayer, and of those who gather here. And I know you hear Andrew's prayer. I know you hear those on hold, those who have written, those who are crying out with me now. But I do pray for those on ventilators, those who are battling COVID, those who are on the threshold of eternal life, Lord. I pray for those in critical care at this moment. I pray for the health of all those united with me. And I just ask for your mercy, especially for those battling COVID, but those also battling cancer. I'm going to pray for Corey Campbell. She used to head up the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Health, the only church-approved apparition site in our country. And I just got word that she may be battling a serious form of cancer. So let me give you these needs and intentions. You are a good, merciful, loving Father. So I turn to you as such, eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next decade. Of course, if you want to, feel free to get your intentions on the air via our Twitter account. It's at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow us there. Before I go to those calls, Maggie, let me take Diana, and then we'll get to what's happening on Twitter.
Hi.
Diana in Wisconsin. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call, Drew. My youngest brother, he's the youngest of six siblings. He is currently battling ALS. I would love to pray for a miracle for his healing. Unfortunately, he is not a believer. He's left the church shortly after college and not been in the faith at all, and in fact, rather skeptical and tend to scoff at anything God-related. So I guess also a big miracle would be for him to return to the church and spiritual healing as well. So I thank you so much for your prayers and
Diane.
For all your listeners' prayers.
Yeah, well, let's pray for him. You know what? There's not one of us that does not know or have somebody in our life that is away from God or not where they should be. So that's the greatest grace, is his conversion. And sometimes God gives us, allows us to endure hardships or crosses. Sometimes we're brought to our knees. Sometimes we suffer. And we realize that science isn't always the answer. Money's not the answer. Things we look for in the world are the answer. But God is the answer. And sometimes these difficulties in life lead us into a closer relationship with him, who's all loving. And Lord, I pray for conversion, first and foremost, for Diane's brother. I pray for the conversion of all of our loved ones, our children, our spouses, our siblings, our coworkers, our parents perhaps, who are not where they should be. And we just ask for the graces that they need to come to know you and love you and be in that channel of grace. But I also pray for miracles. That's what I do here every day. I pray for those big, unbelievable, science-defying miracles. Pray for this Lou Gehrig's disease, this ALS that our brother's battling, and for all those who've been given diagnoses or diseases that there are no answers to. I ask for your divine touch. And Maggie is joining me now, too. And Maggie, I ask you know, God's blessing on all these intentions that are now coming in. A lot of people are writing to us. Who can we pray for?
We got a note on Twitter from MP. He says, I'm asking for prayers for the family of Jamari Rice, who was fatally shot at his Richfield school yesterday. Jamari was 15. Praying also for my brother, who is a para on staff at this school, for all the students and staff's healing, and for the repose of the soul of this young boy named Jamari.
Wow.
Deb is asking for prayers for Teresa. She says her cancer is back and has spread. The prognosis doesn't look good, but her faith is always strong. Mm-hmm. Also got a note asking for healing for Gina, who's suffered many tendon injuries in her knees and ankles, hasn't been able to walk since September of 2021. Marsha is asking for prayers for her sons to see the truth and come back into the faith. Also for a personal struggle and for their living situation. And Elaine asked for prayers for her son Alex, for complete sobriety, and that he might also make some new friends. And then I'd just like to throw out a personal intention as well.
You know, Maggie, I was going to pray for that intention in an anonymous way, but God knows your heart and knows mine, and we'll just give the Lord that particular intention. And Lord, I extend Maggie's intention to so many others who may be praying for something similar. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Tomahawk, Wisconsin. I tell you, Freedom, Wisconsin, Independence, Wisconsin, Black Earth, Wisconsin. Let's go to Tomahawk, Wisconsin. Such cool names. Sam's listening to us there. Hey, Sam.
Hi. Thank you so much for answering my call, Drew.
You got it.
So I was just calling in because my grandmother has been battling multiple sclerosis for 50 years. And sadly, today she is very close to passing away.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm sure you're very close to her. Well, Sam, let's pray for her. I'm glad you got through today. I really am. I know the Lord is hearing your prayers in a particular way, a special way. And we're going to just bring your grandmother now to the Lord, with our spiritual family here. And Lord, I find such comfort in the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, because this prayer really is for the sick and dying. And today we stand on your promise, one that I reiterate a lot, that you promised that when we pray this prayer in the presence of the dying or even at a distance, that you will stand between God the Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. And that special graces are given to those souls, because in this hour they need it the most. They need that trust. So, Lord, thank you for the graces that are now flowing. We give you Sam's grandmother. I pray for those who mourn, those who are losing loved ones, those who have lost loved ones, those who are now approaching the threshold of eternity. And we pray in particular for our own death, that hour, that it may be a holy one as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
It's our last deck, and I'll see if I can grab a few extra calls. We'll go to New York City. And good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling to give thanks to God for getting me through COVID. He allowed me to miraculously get medications, including hydroxychloroquine, that I needed, even though I was told that they were sold out. It was a miracle. And I want to pray for everyone who needs medications to be able to get them as soon as possible, and for more medications to become available, and for those with COVID in the ICU, and for continued healing and protection for myself, for Erica, Miri, and for the souls in purgatory. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Anne, for those beautiful petitions. Your spiritual family here is going to pray for every one of them. We do give God thanks for his grace, for his mercy, the way he does answer prayers. And I want to add to your intention, I'm going to bring Mary in. She's listening to us. We go from the east coast of the United States way into the middle of the Pacific. We'll go to Maui next. Mary is praying with us there. Hey, good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I'm trying to get some prayers for my collarbone that got broken this week, my leg that is injured, and also for a friend that is looking to get pregnant, and another one that is pregnant for a safe delivery.
Great prayers. Well, we'll pray with you right now. We'll lift those intentions up. And I pray for healing, Lord. I pray for anyone with orthopedic problems. I pray in particular for those having problems with their pregnancies or those who are trying to get pregnant. And I ask today in particular that whatever impediment or blockage there is removed. And in your mercy, I know this prayer reaches your throne. I know that it moves your heart. And I know you have promised that anything we ask, if it's according to your will be granted. So I pray that those who struggle with infertility today will find themselves soon pregnant. And I lift that up. We'll grab one more. We'll go to California next. Marcelo is listening to us there. Hi, Marcelo.
Hi. I would like to request prayers for my marriage that is in very bad shape. I'm bipolar 1, and it's a mess. And I want to rectify everything, that my wife will be open to a new beginning.
I think it's a beautiful prayer. And Marcelo, I believe in the power of this prayer. And I believe that marriage is a blessed sacramental marriage, that this is God's will, that you are able to unite. And you sound like a man with a contrite heart. And we'll pray that your wife, that her wounds, which are probably very deep, are healed, that you can be a real witness to the sanctity of marriage as you're able to forgive and grow stronger. I pray for all broken relationships today, Lord. I pray for all dysfunction in families and marriages. And I just pray in a particular way for all who are on hold, all who are praying for me. You know, the Lord said to Faustina, he says, if souls put themselves completely in my care, he says, I'll lavish great graces on them. You know, there are souls who thwart that, right? But as often as they turn to me, he says, I'll hurry to their aid. I'll shield them with my mercy. I will give them first place in my compassionate heart. So, Lord, I give you these souls. I give you these intentions. I give you those now praying with me. And I just ask for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
Father Serafin Mikalenko,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. I am so grateful for this time that we get to spend together every day. Tell others about the chaplet. Join me every afternoon, and do me one favor if you could. Write to me. Tell me how God is answering your prayers, because I know there are big miracles in your future. There are a lot of answered prayers coming your way. So drew@relevantradio.com. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I want to share with you really quickly, like, this year is Mifepristone. This is the first of two pills you would take to end a pregnancy, and it would induce an abortion, this very pill, by blocking the hormone and allowing a pregnancy to grow. And I want to show you how easy it is and safe it is by taking it myself.
You're taking it? Are you... you're not pregnant, are you?
I would say that this is going to end a pregnancy.
Rebecca.
This would be my third abortion.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Oh, gosh, I'm just so speechless when I hear that. You know, my first reaction, this is pray for her. I mean, please pray for her. Her name is Jex Blackmore, and last week on a local Detroit television station, this woman allegedly took a mail order abortion pill on live TV. It's her third abortion. My heart goes out to her. I feel so sad for her. One day she'll recognize what she's done, and it will be devastating. And I just pray for the grace of God to heal and convert and bring her back. I often quote St. Faustina, one of my favorite quotes, that our Lord revealed to Faustina, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to my mercy. And again, I say this to people, you know, most women who may have abortions, they don't do it for any malicious reason. So often, you know, they don't know it's a human life, or they're forced to, or they feel they have no other option. And God's mercy is so great. If you've made that mistake, and you're Catholic especially, get to confession, turn to God, ask him for his mercy, accept it. He wants to give it to you. And I want to say that every time, because I want you to know that. And gentlemen, you too. If you've been involved, it goes for you too. This was a bizarre event. And the reason I threw out the word allegedly took a mail order abortion pill is because, you know, it's really not clear that the pill she had was actually an abortion pill. Maybe it was more of a stunt. It's not clear if she was pregnant. We have to take her word for all this. But she did it according to, you know, she did it to confront the stigma surrounding abortions and call attention to these mail order pills. And while this story. I think it ran on a website called mlive.com. It's a cheerleading article. You know, it's about a, that's really what it is. Rebecca Kiesling, she's a pro-life attorney who was on the segment with this woman, with Blackmore, to talk about what happens if, let's say, if the Supreme Court reverses Roe v. Wade. And I really, if I was a betting man, I would say, yeah, come June, we're going to see the fall of Roe v. Wade. So Rebecca was there to debate that. She spoke with the TV station a day after this particular stunt, and apparently they were deluged, just bombarded, inundated with negative emails from viewers. Because I really believe a majority of our country is pro-life. I really do. I think it's a lot stronger, runs a lot deeper than some of the stats that we see that are out there. So the show's host told her that most of the hate mail, believe it or not, came from abortion proponents blasting the self-described Satanist for the stunt and slamming the show for allowing it to occur. So it was even abortion proponents, who thought, what did you do that for? That's ridiculous, right? And I forgot to tell you, she is also, involved in the occult, and she really needs prayer. Because this is where I think it gets really interesting. Blackmore actually founded the Satanic Temple chapter in Detroit. And she got booted out in 2018 because she said in a documentary that we're going to storm press conferences, kidnap an executive, release snakes in the government mansion, execute the president. I'm surprised you're not in jail for saying that, right? But since then, she's been doing stunts like this. This was her latest in an effort to try to promote abortion as a good thing. And let me just for a second just pause on this note, because I was just struck with this thought too. And we talked about it. I am convinced there's not an ounce of doubt that's abortion has deep, dark, satanic, demonic origins. And you can see why the Church of Satan, the Satanic Temple, often champions this type of behavior. It's so destructive. It is anti-life. It's anti-God on every level. I've invited today Rebecca Kiesling to join me. She's been a major pro-life speaker. Believe it or not, she was even able to convince the former Texas governor, Rick Perry, right, about the humanity of those who are conceived in rape, because she herself was conceived in rape. And Governor Perry at the time changed his mind on supporting bills that would allow abortions in cases of rape and incest. So it's a delight to have her here with me. Hey, thank you, Rebecca, for all you do, for your witness, and for taking time to join us.
Thank you very much for having me, Drew. And wish it could be for something happier.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Now, we don't even know that Jex Blackmore, it's not her real name. First of all, she's made it clear in interviews in the past that that's not her real name. So she hides behind this moniker. And she isn't in prison for threatening to execute the president because she convinced people, Secret Service apparently, that it was theatrical, but it was for a documentary, and yet it's theatrical, and it never got they didn't put it in the documentary because even the Satanic Temple thought it was too extreme for them. And I guess they didn't think that she was joking or, doing just theatrics. So who knows if this is real or not? Mm-hmm. And yes, Charlie Langton, the host of Fox 2 Let It Rip, the debate program we were on, who he's pro-choice. I know he is, but he was really disturbed. This was on his birthday, by the way. But he said most of the hate mail was from people who identified as being pro-choice. And it sounds like, okay, this is going to backfire. But the problem is you have all these news outlets all over the country, national news now, even around the world. And they're not telling people that this is like a crazy satanic leader who also has another cult group that she calls sex militants. They're not exposing who she really is. And they're also like discounting what I said about the abortion pill reversal. And we can get into that a little later. But what scares me is I have three teenage daughters, and they're telling me that their friends are coming to them saying, isn't this your mom? because it's on TikTok. And they're telling me that the TikTok post of her taking the pill now has, well, as of yesterday, had like 180,000 likes.
Oh, wow.
So these are like young people watching this, like this woman's a role model. And I feel like it's sending such a poor message that, like, you know, she says it's so easy and private. She starts out saying how private it is, yet she does this publicly. But it gives the impression that all you do is take a pill and a baby just vanishes into thin air. That's all it is. Look, you just take a pill and you swallow it and it's all done. All done. It's over. No, it's not. You know, and if anybody who's seen Abby Johnson's movie, Unplanned, you'll see that scene where she is losing her baby in her bathroom, screaming in pain. And you see, you know, everything on the floor and how she's trying to scoop up her baby. And, you know, I hear all these stories of people who are in post-abortive ministry are contacted by women who go through this. And these women, you know, become their own abortionists. They have to figure out what to do with their baby now. Some of them put their baby in the freezer. Some of them just flush the baby. Some try to put the baby, you know, down the sink, stuff the baby down the sink drain or the shower. I mean, it's awful. It's awful. And she's not depicting that aspect, what happens after you take the second pill. You know, it's just you take the first pill and, like, that's all there is to it. And that's not the case. I've told people it's like somebody pushing a button for a drone strike. Hmm. Look how easy it is. I mean, can you imagine somebody like, look how easy it is, a drone strike. You know, all you have to do is push this button. It's really private and easy. Well, while the rest of us are horrified because we know the carnage which will ensue and the tragic loss of life.
It's to me, I'm almost speechless when I see this type of behavior, when I hear what ultimately happens. During the show, a lot went down. I mean, first of all, I know the stunt caught you off guard. I you weren't aware of her being on the program. I don't even know if you know who she was before she came on. But what was your reaction to it when it was going down? I mean, I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking, what would I do if I saw this woman do this right in front of me, say, I'm going to terminate this child. Yeah, I'm pregnant, and I'm going to take this pill. What was your reaction?
Well, okay, first of all, I used to do a ton of these appearances on Fox 2 Let It Rip. They've had me on a lot, and most of the abortion leaders like won't debate me anymore. Like the head of Planned Parenthood refuses to debate me because it doesn't go well for them. But I haven't done anything since my sons passed away a year and a half ago. And of course you interviewed me back then after they passed away. And so here I am like getting back out there. You know, I went to the March for Life this year and, you know, I'm speaking again more and I'm, you know, and I did this debate. Here I am. I'm back out for the very first time. And then this happens. And I sobbed after the interview, just absolutely broke down and sobbed. And then I found out who she was. So he had told me in advance her name, and I fully intended to Google her because that's what I'd always done. I used to always research whoever I was going to go up against. But, you know, I was, like, doing last-minute things. I needed new earbuds, and I needed a new, like, you know, just all kind, you know what I mean? And, like, not thinking, like, it's going to be anything like that. I should have Googled her. I mean, of course I should have Googled her because I could have immediately exposed like who she was and
I'm sorry you had to go through that. I'm just curious as to what would happen if I was in that particular situation. During the show, you urged her to get an abortion pill reversal. And when I come back, I want you to pick it up there. There are some people who may not know what that's all about. I want to talk about that, and we'll get more of your story. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in, too. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're back with more, and I'll get you plugged into Rebecca Kiesling as well, so grab a pen and paper. We'll let you know how you can bring her in to speak or learn more about her powerful story. That all straight ahead. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me, and feel free to pick up the phone and pull up a chair, get into the conversation. Number here is 888-914-9149. My guest today, Rebecca Kiesling. She's been with me several times in the past. What a powerful personal story she has. She also knows what it's like to experience tremendous loss, but she's one of the great pro-life voices, I think, of our day. Behind that voice is a lot of pain, but also, I think, incredible grace. And I'm so glad to have her here. She was on a TV show, if you're just joining, where a woman by the alias, she went by this name, what was it, Jex Blackmore, I think it was. Jex Blackmore, I think Jex was the first name. And she founded the Satanic Temple in a chapter in Detroit, and went online. She got booted from that, but she went online. She did this abortion stuff, claimed she was pregnant, and took an abortifacient right there. And Rebecca was on the air at this time on the same set. And during the show, Rebecca urged her to get an abortion reversal pill, or an abortion pill reversal, if you will. I don't know if you know what that is, and you may not, so I'll let her explain, and maybe you could pick it up on that point, Rebecca. I mean, what happens if a woman does take an abortifacient like this, and they have regrets? Can they reverse that, and maybe explain the process and also what happened there with Jex Blackmore?
First of all, thank you for your kind words, Drew. Really, truly, thank you. Okay, abortionpillreversal.com is the website, and it's very important that everybody knows about this now, because in December, President Biden, through the FDA, made it permanently legal to acquire the abortion pill via mail. Okay, which is outrageous. And what do you mean permanently? How is that how can it be permanently? We've got to undo this. But you know, no doctors involved. I mean, this is really bad. This is, you know, you can have men acquire this pill, stick it in their girlfriend's drink. That's already happened for years. There's been articles about this happening, and then the man gets tried in some states, tried for fetal homicide. Other states, nothing. Like New York, he couldn't be tried for that. Nothing. So, you know, the fact that they don't even have to go through a doctor like that, and they can get it via mail. And this woman has it available through mail, Jex Blackmore. She's selling it. Anyhow, abortion pill reversal operates by doing a regimen of progesterone. Now, with my last child, I had a low progesterone count, and I was bleeding and at risk of losing the baby. And so I had to get progesterone. This is scientific. This is what's done. And yet the American College of OBGYNs says it's unscientific to do abortion pill reversal, and there's no studies on it. It's not unscientific. This is what mifepristone does. The very first pill deprives a woman of the progesterone, and it's the second pill that basically expels the baby and makes her contractions and expels her baby. But the first pill kind of cuts off the supply of nutrients. And so with, you know, progesterone and this regimen that's recommended through abortion pill reversal, you can save the baby. And there have been thousands saved, documented cases. I've had babies named after me that where they contacted me and I was able to connect them, and they were able to get the regimen and their baby was saved.
That's awesome.
But they don't want these women to be able to choose life. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not pro-choice, they're pro-abortion. And to them, these women are betrayers.
Yeah.
They don't fit their narrative.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah, we only have a few minutes. I want to talk about something else. I was shocked by this little bit of news that I discovered this morning. I was in a show team meeting with my producers this morning, and you know, your history, you were conceived in rape, and we see the beautiful fruit of your life, and then the fruit of your own life, your children, etc. You know, the good that you're doing, and I know the good that they'll end up doing. You've been a major advocate for people conceived in rape, and you texted my producer this morning about a major national political figure who was also conceived in rape. I had no idea, really. It surprised me when I heard. Maybe share that with everyone else. They might be surprised too, because I know the position of this individual is not really pro-life, especially for being given the gift of life. But share a little backstory on that if you could.
Okay, so the way it all came up is that there's a candidate for the governor of Michigan. His name is Garrett Soldano, and he's running second, like neck and neck, for the Republican nomination right now. And he was on a TV program saying that he's against abortion in cases of rape, which is the standard here in Michigan for any Republican candidate. Really, you know, typically you can't get elected without it. You know, if you have a rape exception, Right to Life in Michigan is considered to be in the strongest pack in the state, single issue pack in the state. And he said that, you never know, that child could become the next president. Well, it's national news now. It's all over the place. The View talked about it today, and that it's so extreme that he said that the child could be the next president. Well, Jesse Jackson was conceived in rape.
Amazing.
And so was John Cox. He ran for president, and he last ran this last election for the governor of California. He was conceived in rape. And Kathy Barnett, a former Fox News commentator, is running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. She was conceived in rape. Why can't she be president? You know, why not? Right. Why can't she be the next president? Why is that funny to make fun of it, that he said that?
Right. That's amazing. I was stunned, Rebecca. Jesse Jackson, right? You would think would be a tremendous advocate for life. He's not a pro-life man, is he?
He had been till he ran for president. His mom was 13 and his biological father was the next door neighbor. He was like 30 in his mid-30s.
Isn't that the case for a lot of these politicians? I think Al Gore was the same way. A lot of people change their positions. You're pro-life, and then when you run for political office and for a particular party, suddenly you're okay with the extermination of a child in the womb. It must resonate in a particular way for you. You're a survivor of that.
Yeah, and if you see the movie Maafa 21, I don't know if you ever saw it years ago. You can watch it on YouTube. It's M-A-A-F-A, The History of Eugenics in America. They talk about this issue with Jesse Jackson, how outspoken he was with so many other civil rights leaders against abortion, against Planned Parenthood locating in black neighborhoods and targeting them, you know, for extermination. But when he ran for president, you know, by the late 70s, like, he flopped because you couldn't get anywhere in the Democratic Party without having that position at the time.
Such a shame. Sell your soul for politics. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there a woman running for governor in Michigan on a pro-abortion stance?
Well, we have Governor Whitmer here.
Yeah.
Perhaps you've heard of her.
Of course.
She's horrible. Yeah. So, and right now they just certified a petition drive here in Michigan 2 weeks ago to amend the Michigan Constitution to have a fundamental right to abortion. And it would undo every pro-life law ever passed here in Michigan. And we still have an abortion ban on the books, the law that protected me when my birth mother sought to kill me in 1969. That law protected me, and we're poised when Roe is overturned to have abortion illegal here.
Yep.
So they've got this petition drive that's launched now, and they have until July to get their signatures. And people need to know, like, how serious this is.
Yeah. Well, look, yeah. I got about a minute to go. If people want to bring you in, they want to get plugged into your story or just learn a little bit more, what's the best way to do that? How can they learn more about you and follow you?
RebeccaKiesling.com, and that's KIESSLING.com. And there's my Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And then my organization is Save the One, and that's the number one, not the word. And we have a network of over 1,100 conceived in rape like me, and mothers who became pregnant by rape, and others who were told by doctors to abort. So if that's your story, like, I would love to meet you, connect. We have support groups.
I love it. Well, check out Rebecca online, RebeccaKiesling.com, all social media outlets as well. Rebecca, keep doing what you're doing. I'm proud of you. I'm grateful for you. And I look forward to the next time you and I can talk. Thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you so very much.
There you go. That's Rebecca Kiesling. Stay with me. Short pause. You'll love what I'm about to talk about.